The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You'll be aware maybe of the Global Summit Flotilla. So this is the latest of the Freedom Flotillas, so-called, that have been trying to make their way into Gaza. It left Barcelona yesterday, but they had to turn around because of inclement weather. And in the last little while, they have left Barcelona again. And over the next few days, they're going to be kind of picking people up in Tunis and Sicily along the way. And then hopefully thereafter, getting to Gaza. Liam Cunningham, the actor, was speaking to the press yesterday. But in amongst them all as well is Tadhg Hickey, the comedian and online commentator. And a few minutes before we came on air at 4 o'clock, I caught up with Tadhg before they left port. You can listen back to the full interview. We'll get it up as a podcast. But I asked him whether there was, when we caught up with him shortly before coming on air at 4 o'clock. Sorry, I began by asking Tadhg, I've forgotten what I started by asking, and we spoke about so many things, my apologies, whether he was confident that it would be kind of full steam ahead to Gaza, there would be no more interruptions once they got going again.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It shows the amount of training, I think, as well, that the people involved in the committee are capable of giving that. Like, we've planned for all these scenarios, we know we have to be patient. On the sea is not like the land, things don't go tickety-boo that way, but there's none of the usual bureaucratic warfare that I know about that the Israelis and Americans like to do to people who are trying to break the siege. And yet the whole lot of us are determined. And the last bit of information I got is that we're leaving in the next hour. And then I think you might already know that there's going to be other boats from Tunisia and Sicily and whatnot. There's 44 delegations from around the world. So it really truly feels like a global event and a global solidarity.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is, I understand, this is the largest kind of attempt, certainly compared to the three previous ones this year with the Conscious, the Madeleine, and the Handala as well. What's the atmosphere like there amongst you?
Like, it's good, you know. It's funny you should say that now. Like, somebody sent me a message the other night going, I love all you activists, but you look a bit too smiley in the photos. I mean, my own personal take on that is that, like, the revolution doesn't have to be sad. You know, I don't think anybody should change their temperament, because I'm not with anybody who is making light of the horrors that are going on in Gaza. We're just building, I suppose, camaraderie between us. And that's fine. I think that's important. You know, we're not the ones who are abnormal, is what I keep saying. You know, it's the Western states who won't take any action on this rogue state. They're acting abnormally and immorally, in my opinion, you know. So, you get thrown together with people. And, you know, this is your boat, this is your boat, this is your boat. But because all the people on this boat are really dedicated pro-Palestine activists, that they're all really just very sound, you know. So it's not like, it's not Big Brother at sea or anything, like, you know.
And tell me, do you need experience? Is there a process whereby they say, you know, well, Tadhg, you know, what use are you out at sea? What are you going to bring to the flotilla?
You sound like my family there, Kerr. No, absolutely. I mean, I suppose I'm here primarily because I have a little bit of a platform, and I'm buddies with Tiago, who's one of the main organisers. As you probably know, I've got young kids. I've got a 14-week-old daughter. But when Tiago asked me to go, I thought, well, he's got kids as well. So maybe you just have to kind of step up to the plate. But, like, I don't want to be here necessarily at all. You know what I mean? I'm not a big boats guy. As you have already intimated, I'm pretty useless other than making funny videos on the internet. But we have a massive team around us. So each of the boats has captains and crew, all with lots of experience. So all that stuff has to be put into place before you just kind of go on a jolly on a boat, like in this kind of crazy harebrained scheme to get to Gaza. It's not like that at all. This team are planning to go to Gaza. They're not planning to be intercepted, because to be intercepted would be yet another war crime that the Israelis have committed. So we're fully focused on opening up a humanitarian corridor, getting to Gaza, delivering the aid and coming back, and then other people can go in our path. That's the dream, I think, from this group.
That's the dream, but I mean, is the expectation, despite that you will be intercepted?
Well, it's a funny one, because people often say that about the the global flotilla movement. But like, people should remember that like, this has been going on for 15 or more years to try and end the siege, and both have got through before.
Okay.
You know, I think we have to be careful about normalizing the fact that, you know, this brutal state is not going to let you in. I think, you know, if we took a helicopter view of the situation, we'd be like, well, why are they stopping humanitarian aid going in? It's a completely peaceful mission. There are no militants here. We just have things like baby formula for kids who are literally starving to death at the moment. So I don't think we should get into the mindset of, oh, look, you don't have a chance. Israel will just intercept you. Well, why would they? Why on earth should we allow that to happen in the world today, that you can't get basic essential needs into starving mothers and children?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm with you on that. I would suspect almost everybody listening would be. And, you know, we had a doctor on the show recently who talked about aid that was coming in through the border crossings and kind of IDF soldiers rooting through it, taking out the baby formula and just tossing it aside. And again, you know, the same logic that you've just kind of enunciated there would apply. Like, who in their right mind does that, and why would anybody do that in any context? At the same time, it happened. And I appreciate the point that there's been instances of boats getting through in the past, but not in the recent past, not during this particular conflict. And I just wonder, like, is there not an expectation that given what Israel are doing and given the level to which they're engaged in this destruction of Gaza and its people, that there's no way on God's green earth they're going to let you guys in?
Well, I totally accept the point that it's probably unlikely, but I'm a bit of a optimist, I suppose, and I believe I'm really excited to be part of this movement, because it's the first, as you say, of the combined forces of maybe three or four of the big pro-Palestine groups around the world. And we are hoping to set up a humanitarian corridor. If that doesn't happen this time, it won't be from our lack of trying. But the real ambition of the group is to make this the beginning of bigger and bigger flotillas, and just to give the Israelis to be in a much more difficult position, and indeed just Western governments generally, even including our own government. I'm obviously welcoming the news about the central bank buying Israeli war bonds today, but we've a long way to go to show actual solidarity with substance, as opposed to just making pretty speeches that will go viral maybe in West Asia, you know, as Simon Harris and others love to do. But our aim is to get in there, but we have planned for every other possibility as well, of course. That's why I've been out here to go through the week training, because we plan for absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But our goal and our ambition is to get there with the food. And not to get there either like white saviours, like we're going to sort out Gaza. We're going to express just basic human empathy, like, and to probably save ourselves rather than Gaza, you know?
And was there any point, say, in that week of training where, and I get that this would be natural, and we know reflection on how passionately anybody believes in what they're doing, but was there a point at which, I don't know, you felt a bit nervous about what you were about to embark? People have been killed. You know, as you say, boats have gotten through before. The Israelis have killed people trying to do this before.
Of course. And like, that again came into the training, you know, so we were briefed on the history. There was parts of it I didn't know, to be honest, and the brutality of the occupation, the people who are non-violent, bringing basic humanitarian aid. That's all been well documented, and we have to get our head around that for sure. But in terms of nervousness, you know what, I'm actually nervous for my family in a way, because I don't like the thought of them being worried, particularly if we are, you know, intercepted down the line and people can't get through to me because, you know, your phone will be taken off you and all that kind of stuff. But if it was up to me, and if I was a single man, I wouldn't think twice, because someone's got to do it, you know. Like someone said to me before I left, like, why does it have to be you? And I suppose my mentality there is, why not me? You know, we all have stuff to sacrifice. We all have stuff. You know, we have loved ones at home. As I say, I've got a 14-week-old baby, but I don't value my kids any more or less. Well, obviously I do, I suppose, because I'm their dad. But you know what I mean? I don't believe in a hierarchy of human beings.
Yeah.
And if you're going to offer real solidarity with the people in Gaza, I think you need to take risks yourself, because non-risky protests and non-risky action events haven't, unfortunately, changed the conditions on the ground in Gaza. So it obviously needs more. And I definitely want to be part of the more, when I've been asking people to take one step more in their activism for the guts of 2 years, you know. So this is my one step more here. My head is destroyed. I'm burnt to a crisp. I'm slipping in and out of getting sick. But these are small, tiny, tiny little things. And if we do get confronted, it will still be a drop in the ocean to what a Palestinian faces every day at the hands of that occupation that, as you know, the West is utterly complicit in.
Yeah. This is a very, very Irish question to wrap things up on, but given it was a storm that turned you around, what's the weather forecast?
Bit of met air at the end, love it. It's actually much better today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's much better today. It was kind of a bit choppy, and apparently people, as I say, I'm not a boats guy, but people tell me the Mediterranean is one of the more kind of troublesome areas, you know, that, you know, so you have to be really well prepared, like, to go. The weather's looking good right now, and I would imagine in the next hour or so we'll be on our way. And I actually just urge people, don't forget me, but just keep an eye on the official Global Smooth Flotilla pages, because the more eyeballs that are on us, the more safe we will be, actually, you know, and the more eyeballs on us, more importantly, the more people will be thinking and talking about Palestine.
Yeah, and you can track the progress as well of the flotilla for people who are conscious of it and thinking about it and worried about it. You can do it there as well. Tadhg, we wish you well, and listen, we might touch base over the coming days as well. Thanks a million.
Of course, man. Yeah, pleasure as always.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.